microphone from the green light to the speed trap. Ray Reno and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
If you ever plan to motor west, take my way, the highway that's the best.
Yeah, take this highway, folks, because you're on with Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, with your host, Ray Guarino, and his co-host, wingman, and XO, the only man who keeps listeners and scanners trapped in his tractor beam, Joe D.
That's right. We have to keep the Newton meters to an extreme level to keep everybody in place.
You got that. And we are starting with a little Route 66 today because there's a... This day... Well, actually, yesterday in history, Joe, I just had to mention this... 1960, October 7th, was the day that CBS aired the premiere episode of Route 66.
Oh, okay.
So a little histrionics there on Motormouth Radio for you listeners, but give us a call, 516-572-7440. We're going to have a great guest today. We're going to have Mr. Bill Lindsay from Startron, or the Starbright Corporation.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. They make some good stuff there.
Starbright.com, B-R-I-T-E, and they make a whole bunch of cool stuff. They make Startron fuel additive, which I've been using for a number of years already. And they have cleaners and additives, all sorts of cool stuff. It's a great company, and we've had Bill on in the past. He's a recurring guest, so I thought it was time to bring him back, because of course, like we said before the show, this is getting to be the time of year that some people start to store their cars and put them away.
Yeah, it's time to start thinking like that. Even though the weather's been unusually warm and nice, pretty soon, depending on how your perception of time goes, it's going to be time to put the old girl up on blocks or whatever it is that you do. And we've talked many times about what happens to fuel when it sits too long.
Oh yeah.
And
what word could you use to describe what happens to fuel when it sits too long?
Well, it could turn to schming. Well, mm-hmm.
There's more. Yeah.
No, actually, what happens if you have the fuel level's too low, you get schmog inside the tank.
Well, that's okay. You'd get schmog if you ran the car and saw the tailpipe emanations.
Right, and also you have some of it inside causing corrosion in the tank as well. So,
right,
you could have a number of things going on as far as there, but then. What comes out of there is into your carburetor is going to be either schming or squinge.
Squinge,
yeah.
Oh, there's another one.
Squinge, yeah. It's a kind of useless substance that really needs to be cleaned and chemically deactivated.
All right. Being a carburetor rebuilder for many years, I've seen my share of carburetor schmutz and gook and...
Gook, yes. Let's not forget gook.
With ethanol, you get this gelatinous stuff that kind of...
Squinge!
Yeah, I guess. It kind of looks... It's like the blob guy on Orville. What's his name?
Right.
Kind of looks like him, the guy with no body, just a mouth.
Itzek or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, he just wants to, date the doctor,
Right, yeah, I know. That must be his cousin Squinge, because
maybe.
The stuff that's it's kind of like that orange Jello, kind of.
Did your kids ever play with? Mine did. It was the stuff. I think it was called GAC. They take it, you throw it at the wall, and it just kind of walks down the wall. Yeah.
Well, that's another word, GAC.
GAC, right?
GAC. Yeah. As a matter of fact, depending on the consistency, it could either be Squinge or GAC, depending upon what kind of tool you need to remove it from.
Yeah.
Can you just kind of wipe it out or spray it that, or does it actually have to be mechanically removed with like a spatula?
A scraper or something, yeah.
One of my favorite things is a spatula, yes.
Yeah, I won't tell
you
why.
The wife hates it when she goes into the kitchen drawer and stuff's missing.
Oh, yeah. Let's go to the kitchen drawer and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Good morning, Ray. Good morning, Joe. I once again to annoy and bother you.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, well,
we got that settled right off the bat.
From our panel of experts, yes.
Yes, I agree with that, you know, and, you know, it's interesting that you brought up the point about the chemicals, Startron and the products that they make, the bill and all that, is that a lot of people out here especially do not know about the effects of ethanol on a long term when it sits in the older vehicles, especially with rubber parts that are inside the carburetor, that's inside the fuel pump, and they don't realize that the ethanol is a very highly corrosive solution that actually tears up the internal components of these cars, and it also... It
my doctor told me the same thing about my body.
...of gas into varnish.
Yeah.
It
also
so
knocks it loose.
It's going to be interesting, especially anybody listening out there, because I know I find, especially, you know, you say cars, but what about your snowblower? What about your lawnmower? Your gas blower that blow leaves away? People completely forget about these items. And then when they go to start them up in the springtime, and you got your gook and your squish and your muck and all the gook and everything else, and now you need a new carburetor among other components. And not to mention the leaky gas tank that it ate through on the older tanks because they weren't coated. It just tears them up, you know, a little bit of rust. It breaks all that free. Any corrosion and buildup from older gas, especially when a lot of people use the cheap Charlie gas, you know, because they're getting a benefit on it. They don't realize it doesn't have the additives. And you get a lot of deposits that settles on the bottom of these old tanks from the old days. So it should be an interesting conversation when your gentleman comes on board.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, we've had Bill on a number of times in the past, and he's given us some great stories from the trenches. And I followed his advice, and when I shut my lawn equipment down, well, the lawnmower for the winter and then the snowblower for the summer, I run the gas. Of course, I keep the gas treated, but as it's running, I like to run the fuel out of the engine, and as I know it's getting low, I'll actually tip the piece of equipment so the fuel outlet is the lowest part in the system to get every last drop out, and as the engine starts to sputter, I pour in just straight Startron and let that go through the carburetor. And you know what? Right. Next time you want to start that thing up, fresh gas, you pull it, bang, it fires right up.
And it starts right up. You know,
right.
Not even a question.
Yep.
Right? Another thing that what I do out here is that I pinch up the fuel line, you know, coming into the carburetor at that point, you know, from the tank. So also it cleans the valve. You have the on and off valve, the pencox. All right? There's that some fuel residue lays in that pencox too. So when it starts to sputter, I give it a couple of shots of starting ether to keep it running so you get a little more suction, and it actually sucks even more fuel out of the Venturi and out of the intake. So it helps dry that out too. And then, as you know, with the ether, that evaporates and causes any remaining fuel in the system to help evaporate and clean the system out at the same time. So you basically douching the motor 100% without fogging it. So that helps out a little bit too, I found, over the years of experience.
So in other words, your carburetor gets that fresh feeling back.
Yeah.
Yes, right. You know?
Yeah, plus ether's really good for rearranging your eyebrows.
It is.
Right.
Yeah, you know.
I got part two. Would you like to hear part two of the old car syndrome that I mentioned 2 weeks ago?
Well, since no one understood the first part, you might as well do the second part. What the heck?
Just take a deep breath and slow down.
You're looking for an old car that you want to do a restoration on and get involved in the classic car industry. So part two now, the car arrives. Now think back when you got your first antique or your first restoration, or when you're reliving your childhood. Well, I had that car as a kid, now I want to have it and relive those old days again. So this is phase two. The car arrives, and it says now, and this is written by Daryl Review. He's one of the head Dolsons over at the Harrod Museum, so a very knowledgeable individual. Having light in your bank account and convincing the spouse it was a good investment you will appreciate over time, you count the hours until your treasure arrives. The about time that you sit down for dinner, the trucker calls and said he's lost the next directions to your house. Right? You're thrilled to see your car, you pay the driver, and you forget about dinner. The car has come. You and your neighbors gather around the smoky and grimy object to start to examine your treasure. The first thrill is that it starts and can be driven into the garage. The second thrill is all the paperwork is with the car, and it is yours. The seller said, Where was it? Okay, here we go. The seller said there was a small tear or two in the upholstery, which means your idea of a small and his idea of small are different, but the mice are no longer nesting in the front seat.
As long as it's not a raccoon.
Also, there's a little rust, which you would say is easy to fix. Well, little is less than 5%, and it's not quite a lie. Once you arrive, is that true or not? Right?
Oh, yeah.
Once the arrival is greeted with the proper pomp and circumstances, the neighbors leave. That's because you ran out of beer. Just before you go to bed, you have to sneak back down to the garage and make sure the car is secure and happy. The next day becomes one of trial and tribulations. After good washing and degreasing, you're ready for the trip to DMV, which is like having root canal. Right? Too bad you didn't buy stock in Simple Green. After a lengthy discussion about why you want to insure something that old and selling a dollar value, you consider the option of collector car or regular insurance, deductible limits, miles to be driven, and the insurance is obtained for more than you estimated. At last, you're ready for the maids at DMV. You bounce from person to person to determine if the title is valid. What is the real value of the car? I got to turn a page. Fingers aren't working. I hate arthritis. It was a real private party sale. You got that, too. That's coming up. Wait until you get older. It's not fun. And the other questions make up for the spot you keep around. Finally, someone knows how to process an out-of-state sale, and you are free at last. So far, you paid for the car, transportation, insurance, registration, which makes a hole in the hole you're pouring money into it deeper by the minute. At this point, it is best to take the spouse out for dinner and discuss any topic other than the car, as most spouses are immune to OCS. As you start your project, you will find out you're missing essential tools and equipment to work on your car, which will be covered in the next installment. How are we doing so far?
Yeah, good. That's a very realistic, and it hits definitely a few nerves with me over the years getting cars. So, yeah. You're
right?
Very accurate there.
Right, pretty much so. So that's one thing, you know, just getting off topic for a second, that if you're going to buy a car off the Internet, be real leery. One thing I did when I bought this Zimmer, which was a 1985 Zimmer, it was a museum collector piece. The car hasn't been driven in 20 years. I asked them to send me photos of the bottom of the car, the suspension, the oil pan, the tranny. All right, I had them wipe oil on a paper towel, both the tranny oil and the engine oil, so you could see the color differential. Do as much research and diligence as possible. And if you're making a considerable investment, it does pay to take a flight out there. So you spend a couple $100 on a flight to look firsthand at what you're actually getting. Because once you get it in your garage and it comes on that truck, you own it. And you hear all kinds of nightmares about buying a car off the Internet. So I strongly suggest you find something. You're going to make the investment. You're going to spend tons of dollars and hours in putting into this vehicle. Check it out. Don't buy it sight unseen.
Definitely not.
You're
definitely
absolutely not. Right.
You could definitely get screwed over, and maybe one in a hundred. You get a good one.
Yep,
I looked out with the Chevelle.
You know, Christian wanted me to add that not to forget fogging oil, which really that's what we used to use before stuff like this, where it actually goes in as a fog, not a schmog.
Oh, yeah, because mm-hmm. it's a legit substance.
And
yeah.
Literally sticks to everything. The valve seats, the valve stems, it just sticks to everything. And then
right.
That's good for long. You know, the boat guys always use that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, that's what you use on the outboards when you had a boat. You'd fog the motor out because
exactly.
of the salt air.
Yep.
Another thing, which is good on the East Coast, where I used to learn a long time ago, is the amount of condensation that gets into these old cars when they sit for 6-8 months.
Mm-hmm.
Take an oily rag and shove it up the tailpipes and take an oily rag and stick it in the carburetor. Any ports that a moisture could get into, or air especially could get into, it helps cut down the condensation and helps keep rust from inside the exhaust and getting inside the engine itself. And a good thing to do is top off your gas tank all the way up to the tippy top so you don't get any condensation or water vapor in there. Another thing people don't realize is the master cylinder is that brake fluid is extremely hygroscopic and absorbs moisture with the slightest amount. So that's another thing you should do, and I do it every year, is that I bleed the brake system, and it should be done on your regular car at least every 2 years. Do you agree or disagree with that?
No, you know what, Bronk? We've been talking about that ad infinitum, and in fact, I have...
There are different intervals by the different manufacturers, but 2 years ain't a bad idea.
In the works, we have a... I'm in conversation now with one of the guys from MightyVac, the guy that makes all those great brake bleeders and stuff that we've been talking about since the summer, and the guy that I had a contact for now passed me over to a new guy who's doing it. So we shared some emails, and we're trying to nail down a date. But keep tuned for an update on Brake Bleeding with Mighty Vac Products. And if you want to be, you don't want to be a Jadrool, jump on the Motor Mouth Radio Twitter feed. Just go to Motor Mouth Radio. That's all you got to do. That's, hashtag Motor Mouth Radio is where we're at. And you will find the feed that I sent today about the great StarTron products, and you'll be updated when I let you know about the Mighty Vac stuff. So,
yeah, that's interesting. You know, one question that could come up when you talk to the Mighty Vac people, is it better to use a power system to evacuate the system? That's if you're going to come it dry. Or if you're just bleeding it, is a gravity feed better or a vacuum system better, and why?
It's an interesting
topic, because it's the age-old question, you know, boxes or briefs.
You can be sure that all those questions and more will be covered when we talk to these guys. But for now, Brock, we have to take a break. We got to run.
Okay, and I got to run, too, because I am going to go put my car away. We had a big rally yesterday, a 100-mile road rally, and naturally I came in, like, next to last, which I was happy about because
right.
The car made it.
You got it.
I will talk to you guys soon.
All right.
Have
okay,
a great week.
All right.
Take
so
care.
Bye. All right, guys. We're going to go take a break. Joe, Motor Mouth Radio.
I have to go slam something in the door. I'll be right back.
Yeah, Motor Mouth. Yeah, that was, you could say that might have been a little bit of a drag, huh? So let's see what they got to say about that in this technological board here on Motor Mouth Radio.
To listen to the voice of Nassau Community College on your phone.
Stay connected to your favorite radio station anywhere you go on the iHeartRadio app.
Never miss shows like the Nassau Morning Madhouse, It's Saucy, or the Radio Rumble Again.
Streaming 24/7, 365. Listen to WHPC everywhere.
iHeartRadio is radio and unlimited music all in one app.
Listen live now in the iHeartRadio app and at iHeartRadio.com.
Just search for 90.3 WHPC.
All right, Drag City is what it is. We're going to come back quick from this break because we want to go to the phones and say, hi, you're on the Motor Mouths.
Hi, it's Bill from Starbright calling in.
Bill, how you doing? You're on with Ray and my co-host Joe D. And
hey,
we got Mike Manning in the studio with us today.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
Good. Bill, it's been a while since we had you on, but not much has changed in the fuel area over here. It's still
bad.
It's still nuts. So we need you to tell us how we can
bring us up to speed.
Yeah, tell us about all this cool stuff that you guys are doing at Starbright.
Well, we could do that. The problem with fuel, and we talked about it before, is basically all the stuff they put in it to make it more green, more eco-friendly. The problem is it doesn't make it burn as well, so you lose out on power and all that, whether or not you've got ethanol in there. There's ethanol, the 10% ethanol, 90% gas, we call it E10 down here in Florida. It's fine as long as you practice fuel management. We went through it a couple of weeks ago, a little thing called Hurricane Irma.
Ah, yes.
All the generators came out, and it's funny because they hadn't run in years. And my neighbors that had used StarTron, I could tell. And the ones that hadn't, I could tell, because I could hear the curses.
Bill,
do
you remember, it's about 3 or 4 years ago, you told us a story, a personal story, about generator use when hurricanes were concerned. Do you recall that story?
I do. That was back in Wilma about, 12, 13 years ago. Came through, and there's all kinds of problems with generators, and I was trying to get prepared for it. And I'd pulled my little Honda out, which normally you just look at the damn thing and it starts up. But it had been a couple of years, and I was kind of a dumbass. I hadn't stabilized it. Mm-hmm. And 32 poles, nothing. And then I had a bottle of StarTron. It's an 8-ounce bottle. I put half of it in because you can't overdose. It's a fuel base. Dumped half of it in while my wife's glaring at me. She's a little redhead from Long Island, so nasty temper. After about 30 minutes, I started trying. On the second pole, the damn thing started. It was running. It was blowing white smoke. It was bumping around because a lot of varnish had built up on the carburetor and the plate and the ball, whatever. It took 7 minutes to burn all that crap out, and then it was purring like it was brand new. So StarTron saved my life.
And we yes, more ways than one.
3 weeks ago, Hurricane Irma comes through, and I've got the same little Honda. Now I dosed with Startron again. It cranked right up, no problems at all. Had another one I'd loaned to a buddy of mine, and I get it back, and I'm trying and trying. Nothing works. I'm like, what the heck? I took the carburetor apart, and when I took off the bowl, there's about a half inch of crud. And I called him up. I'm like, what'd you do with this thing? He goes, oh, I used the good stuff, that other stabilizer, and I put a bunch of it in. I'm like, you created a swamp at the bottom of it. We had to clean it out, to scrub it out. There was so much crap in there. It was. I actually replaced the carburetor, and then we put it back in the diet of Startron, and all was good.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, whether it's anything that runs on gas, your bike, your car, your generator, your lawnmower, whatever, some of the enzymes help allow the gasoline portion of it, whether it's 100 or 90%, to be more combustible. That's it. It's no big trick. It's just science.
Okay,
you
Bill,
make the fuel more combustible, it starts easier.
We just got a message from a listener who's on our internet feed, Christian, and he wanted to know, he was curious about overdosing. He heard you say overdosing, and he was thinking that was a bad thing, and he was wondering if there is really a prescribed amount that should be added, or if
an optimum ratio actually
optimum
would be.
Ratio,
right.
Or if there could be trouble. And I think if I understood you right, no, you can, and I know because I've done it. I've run my engines on Startron.
Oh yeah, with most products, and we make a traditional chemical based stabilizer. So I'm not knocking them. We know the technology. Starbright's been around for 45 years. We make everything from the containers, from the bottles on up. With most products, you do have to be very careful and not to use too much, as I saw in the generator I loaned out.
Okay.
Because, however, Startron's at a fuel base. We do it for two reasons. You're putting fuel in the fuel, and we've both done it. You can actually run an engine on this stuff. We don't recommend it because it's crazy expensive, but whatever. You could if you had to. The other reason, it means you can put as much as you need in. And what I've done, and what a lot of techs have done, you get an engine, especially a small carbureted engine, that's running kind of funky. Or I've got a 2003 911. One of the fuel injectors was not quite flowing. I could tell it was third gear, 3,000 RPM. It wasn't really doing what it should. So what I did is I put in a whole bottle of Startron, 8 ounces. Just dumped it in and then took the car out for a spin on I-95. And within 10 minutes, it was running perfectly. And we've seen the same thing with little engines, like weed eaters or whatnot. They get varnish buildup on the carburetor. You put in a heavy dose of Startron, it makes it feel more combustible, but some of the other enzymes are going after any debris, any varnish, any carbon, any gum, to break it apart small enough to either get it back into solution or small enough the engine can burn it off. Like with my little generator, it was blowing white smoke. It was burning all that crap off until it got to just nice, clean fuel, and then it was settled down, no smoke, no stutter.
Yeah.
All good.
Yeah, I have to tell you a recent story, which is what maybe prompted me to get in touch with you, because I said, hey, I got to talk to Bill again. My motorcycle had sit now for a while, and I had mm-hmm. treated the gas with Startron, but it sat longer than I thought because of a sciatica issue. I couldn't really ride the thing, so I couldn't. The battery went dead. I had to recharge that.
Yeah.
I got that going. Then I said, why isn't this bike firing? It's a fuel-injected BMW. The thing would start just, like a car.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't start. And I said, I opened the gas cap. I was like, damn, it's varnished. The gas is varnished. So I used my Mighty Vac, my pressure bleeder. I used it as a fluid evacuation thing. Took a gallon and a half of old gas out of it, which I did check. It still did light on fire. I had to know. So,
yeah.
But I did it safely. I used a controlled substance, controlled circumstances. And then on your recommendation, which is what I probably would have done anyway, I just poured some Startron right into the tank and then put fresh gas in. And I got it running, and it did. I was just afraid of fuel injector issues, but so far, no issues. So
it's one of those things where, because it does clean all the systems out, my tech that I take the cars to, he swears. At first, he's like, "What do you put in your car?" And I'm like, "You look at the injectors and then call me." Mm-hmm. And he's like, "I don't know what it is, but I want some."
Mm-hmm.
And he uses it now. It's the other thing, though, what you hit on with the gas. If your gas is stinky, there is no way you're going to salvage it.
Right.
Where people call all the time saying, "I've got gas that's 6 months old," I'm like, "That's fine." Or a year, I'm like, "That's fine."
Right.
But then the guy who calls up, and says, "Well, it's been sitting for 5 years," I'm like,
yep,
"You have weed killer in your fuel tank."
Right. I have to tell
you. Don't even try.
Bill, I got I want to talk about some other products, too, but I have in my hand this little one-shot bottle of Startron enzyme fuel treatment. That's, it's, what is it? It's,
We call that the shooter.
The shooter,
StarTron, I'll make this fast. StarTron, the original formula, 1 ounce treats 16 gallons. I use that in the boat. I got a 150-gallon fuel tank, 8-ounce bottle treats 128 gallons. I dump 8 ounces in, I'm good to go. Great product. When we got involved in power sports, and I ride a Harley, and the boss has a whole collection of bikes, too, and we were just riding in California. Anyway, when we got involved in that, people loved it. And in lawnmowers and whatnot, but they're making themselves crazy measuring a fraction of an ounce. They'd call in saying, I'm using half a cup full or 3 drops from a tablespoon. I'm like, my God, that's nuts. Right. So we came out with a 1 ounce treat 6, but then I'm not going to put that in my saddlebag. What if it leaks? So we put it in a 1 ounce bottle. We call it the shooter. So now, like, we're in California this past weekend riding in Joshua Tree, and we'd pull up to a gas station. I reach out to get a handful of these things. I pass them up to the guys. You crack it open, you dump it in your tank, whether it's a 2.5 gallon on the Sportster or it's a 5 gallon on the Beamer GF. Dump it in, it treats up to 6. It's easy, it's safe, it's great for the guy in his garage treating the gas container for his lawnmower or whatever. So just an easier way to use it.
That's nice. I mean, I got to say, years ago...
Makes for good convenience, yeah.
And many years ago, you'd be riding with a bunch of guys, and you may stop for gas, and guys may be handing out, like, Budweiser. Now we're handing out fuel. That's a good thing,
exactly.
Bill? It's a good thing.
We also... There's another version of it. It's got a blue cap, and some of the auto retail stores have it. And basically, they saw the shooter, and they loved it, but they said, our customers need something that'll treat the tank of fuel in a car or a truck. So we did a more concentrated one that treats up to 25 gallons. It's got the blue cap. So basically, you got to look at the thing you're holding in your hand, read the label, and it's going to say treats 6 gallons or 25 gallons or whatever, and that tells you what it is. But in the back of your head, if you're on your Beamer, like, hey, I can only get the one that's the concentrated, but I can put this all in 5 gallons of gas because it's not going to hurt anything.
Right, right.
And so what you do there is, do you put the stuff in before you fuel up or after?
You can really do it whenever. I do it before just because I feel better. It's kind of like making chocolate milk. You want to make sure
it gets mixed better, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mixes better, yeah.
But on a bike, honestly, I mean, the way we ride, you can dump it at any time. It's going to get sloshed, I promise you.
Right.
I'm sure, yeah. I mean, sometimes in automotive, like certain additives that you put in there, like for the catalytic converter issues, for example.
Okay.
They tell you to put it in with like a quarter tank of that gas and then go and fill it up and then you drive it, whatever.
Right.
So,
well, the thing with some of the others, and you hit on a good point, is a lot of those are cleaning agents and they're designed to do a specific task and that's it. And you gotta mm-hmm. They work, but you just have to really, really pay attention. What I like about StarTron is you could be brain dead and use this stuff because you're adding it to the fuel. It's going to keep it stabilized, whether it's sitting for a couple weeks or a couple months or a year or so. Well, and plus, it's also going to make the fuel burn better. So if you're stuck using the only downside to E10 is you don't get as much power or range because it doesn't provide as much energy, as much BTU.
You're
but
right.
By using it, you get back a lot of the power and fuel range. So that's a nice thing, too, just on an ongoing basis. And right. It keeps everything clean. That's better than a poke in the eye.
Sure. Bill, Christian is just asking why StarTron doesn't make their own storage fuel. And I guess, I'm assuming there's places that make a fuel that you put in that is made for storage.
We looked at that. That's a very good question. And it's funny because one of our sales guys who's in the outdoor power equipment industry, that's his beat, if you will. He was after us to do it, but the problem is you're taking fuel and adding this to it, and it just gets to the point where I work out of the Fort Lauderdale headquarters. We make everything out of our plant in Alabama. We just expanded it to 400,000 square feet. It's beautiful. It's working day and night. And the guy who runs it for us said, absolutely, hells no. I'm not shipping fuel, big bottles of fuel out of here. He said, no, we're not going to go there.
Yeah.
We're not going down that road.
Actually, it's probably easier to just have it in the right little dosage that you can add it to the fuel of your choice. People still have gasoline preferences.
It's a lot less expensive, too. That's the other thing, too. For consumers, I mean, yes, I've got some of the other stuff, like True Fuel and all the other, and it's great. There's no question about it, but it's also very pricey. And honestly, in my opinion, I get the same effect out of going down to the corner gas station. I get the fuel, whatever octane the engine calls for. My outboard's 87, so I use that. Dump in the StarTron, it works. It starts every time I need it to, and it runs. So, yeah, I'm saving money, and I'm getting reliability. So I go with that.
Absolutely. Bill, can we keep, we want to keep you on the line so we can take another break. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back and talk about the other products that
sure.
your company sells. But first, I have to mention that, you know, on HPC, on this station, there's some other great shows. American Hit Radio, one of my favorites. Wednesdays and Fridays at 5 p.m. It's the show that unravels the music of today while recalling the music of our past. That was the host made that quote. You can join host and author Tom Ryan and his wife, Heidi, as they discuss music issues of the past and present. The interactive show features trivia, opinions, and many special guests, resulting in a fun and informative hour of music and talk. I listen to that show and like it. So,
not bad, yeah.
With that said, let's take a break. Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, his co-host Joe D, in with Mike Manning in the studio, Bill Lindsay on the phone from Starbright Inc. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a second. Keep it where you got it. Bill, hang on.
Nassau Community College presents the 32nd Italian Heritage Day. Italian American heroes and celebrity. And that's Monday, October 16, 2017 in the NCC College Center building, rooms 252-253. The Italian American heroes and celebrity will present some of the speakers are Italian rescue Holocaust victims, spices, surveillance, and sabotage. And a guest speaker will be Mr. Tony LoBianco talking about the making of an Italian-American actor. I hope you will all come down on the NCC College Center building, October 16, 2017, rooms 252-253. Arrivederci!
Every sound, every note, including the bass, on this track is played by a monkey.
American Hit Radio, Wednesdays and Fridays at 5 p.m. on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Drive, just won't stall. With a four-barrel carb and a dual exhaust with 411 gears, you can really get...
All right, we got safety tubes, I ain't scared, brakes are good, tires fair. And we are back, Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D., Mike Manning, and Bill Lindsay. You still with us, Bill?
Yeah, I'm right here, guys.
All right. Little Hot Rod Lincoln we interjected there. So, you guys are also selling some cool stuff. This Extreme Clean, you have Bike Guard, and something that that Joe was just thought he was in need of was the Auto Odor Eliminator Nose Guard. Not for himself, for someone else. So
it's always someone else.
We're always looking for cleaning products. Tell us about these things, because, you know, Extreme Clean... it looks like a real winner, and I can't wait to try this one out.
What's cool about Extreme Clean is it's what's called a chelating agent. And Starbright is best known for our marine products. So we've got one called a non-skid deck cleaner. The non-skid deck of your boat, you look down, you see the little cross hatches, so you get good grip as you're walking around the boat, and it's wet. It's a good thing. The problem is it holds dirt like you wouldn't believe. You can't get it out with soap. You scrub, it's still there. With a chelating agent, you apply it, spread it out, let it work for, like, I don't know, 3-5 minutes, whatever. It breaks the bond between the dirt and the surface, so the dirt pops loose. You can just lightly rub it with a soft brush, rinse it off, it's clean. We had our chemists take those same chelating agents, and basically that's what the Extreme Clean is. So it's you can use it to clean anything. It's a cleaner degreaser. So the bike, say I take the Harley up to Lake Okeechobee, kill a bunch of bugs, come home, it's crusty. I'll spray it down with the Extreme Clean, let it soak in for a couple minutes while I'm doing some other stuff. And then I just wipe it off, and the bugs, the road grime, whatever, comes right off. You can wipe it off, you can rinse it off. So it's cool if you're up where you are and it's cold and you don't want to be messing around with a hose in your garage, you can wipe it off. Right. Down here in Florida, I can hose it off, so no big deal.
Sure.
But it's a cleaner degreaser for just about any surface you can imagine. You're not going to use it on your, it's not going to help you out on your good clothes and you're trying to go to church on Sunday and your wife's mad at you because you got a spaghetti stain.
Right.
You're on your own with that.
Yeah.
But that's what that is. The nose guard, the auto odor thing is kind of cool. It uses what's called chlorine dioxide. It's been around for 50 years. They use it in municipal water plants to sterilize water. They use it in hospitals to sterilize instruments. Food processing plants use it to get rid of smell. After the Gulf storms of some years ago, mold and mildew was everywhere
right.
because of all the flooding. So they use chlorine dioxide, and it kills mold and mildew. This, unfortunately, it didn't use ours, but that's what it is. We actually make this at our plants in Alabama. And the way it works is, say you just bought a new car and you love it. You got a cool Camaro. It's gorgeous, but the previous owner smoked cigars, so it stinks like you wouldn't believe. You get the thing home. You roll up all the windows. You take the auto odor eliminator. You follow the instructions. You put the thing in the armrest. You close the doors, leave it overnight. You come back in the morning, there will be no smell, and it won't hurt anything because the vapor comes out, spreads throughout the car, doesn't hurt anything, not going to affect the leather or anything like that.
Benign
and then
spot.
You just open it up, air it out, and there's no stink. Or if, say, one of your buddies, you're out in your partying a little bit, shall we say, and he kind of gets, well, a friend of mine dates a Russian girl, and she did Mount Vesuvius and barfed all over the car.
Oh, yes.
Panic. And so I get some of the stuff over to him, trying not to laugh.
Yeah.
And he you know, I was like, dude, I'm not cleaning it, but here's the stuff. Cleaned it all up, and it still stunk, so we put one of these things in. It was going to sell the car. And then the next morning, it didn't stink because it kills the bacteria that causes the odor. So it's a cool way to deodorize your car.
I'm sure you've heard this before, and you may know from personal experience, but there was an episode of Seinfeld.
Get out of my head.
Right?
Get out of my head. I was just about
Jerry could not get the right?
If they had this product, they would have kept the car.
Exactly. That was hilarious.
See what happens in 20 years of technology there? That's great to know, because how about, like, I'm just thinking, you know that most old cars, you know, I mean, cars from like the 60s and the 70s, they got that certain smell, which is not necessarily the fault of anybody partying too hard or anything like that. you know the smell I'm talking about, right?
It's like the
formaldehyde smell. It's kind of musty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This will take care of that, too.
Excellent.
Anything that you smell that you don't like, this will get rid of the odor. It won't hurt anything. We actually sell it in a liquid form, too. We call that Performicide. What's cool, you can spray it on kitchen counters or whatnot, and it kills all the germs. When you go to a restaurant and you see the busboy wiping a rag, he just moved the germs from one end of the table to the other.
Yeah,
didn't
right.
kill a damn thing. Our stuff, you spray it on. Within minutes, it kills all the germs, but it's completely safe. You could gargle with it. It's cool stuff. So it's a great disinfectant. Or if you're doing a barbecue and you're cutting up chicken and all that, you don't want to worry about salmonella. So you can spray it on the countertop. One of our buddies uses it. He does barbecue competitions, and he sprays all this stuff down. So kind of cool stuff.
I'm worried about my neighbor, Sam Lentinella. He always wants to come over and eat the barbecue, so I got to try and keep him away. So maybe I'll try it.
Spray him with it.
There you go. So the other product is this bike guard. So after we use, you know, Extreme Clean on the bike, I guess it's a good idea to follow up with bike guard?
Yeah, what the bike guard is, it's a spray detailer and like a waterless cleaner. The whole idea of this is you spray it on the bike. This is a light mist will do. Take one side of a microfiber cloth and just kind of wipe it around so to spread it evenly, and then flip it over and just lightly buff it off at the other. You get a nice shine. It takes off the road grime, the bugs, the grit, whatever. Like I said, good way to waterless clean the bikes. But what's cool is our chemist, he's very interesting. So he put a blueberry scent in this stuff. There's a thing that it's called the Bassmaster Classic. It's a big bass fishing tournament. They do it once a year. It's like the Super Bowl of bass fishing. And it's cool because they drive the trucks and boats into the arena. And the guy hops on, holds up his fish, and yada, yada. It's a cool thing for a new bass. But what I like about it is all the trucks and boats have to look perfect. And over 2.5 days, there's hundreds of them going by. Every single one of them, they detail it with it's boat guard, which is the same thing as bike guard. Spray it down, buff it off, the truck, the boat look beautiful, and they just roll it up. So anything that's painted or fiberglass or polished metal, just a little mist, wipe it, and it'll keep it looking good. It extends the life of the polish that you do on the car once a year. Just cool stuff. And if you got a hot day, you spritz yourself down, and the ladies will not be able to resist that blueberry scent.
Nice.
Right.
I cannot vouch for personal safety.
Yeah, definitely. No, that is very cool.
Makes you all the more lickable.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, if you didn't have a bike, but you have a car, I guess you could squirt that stuff under the hood and your fender wells.
Yeah, absolutely. And any cars, trucks, whatever you have. A buddy of ours, actually, he motorcycles up in Alaska, and he's spraying down his bike, and then he did his truck. And he came out later, there were bees buzzing around it.
Wow.
Because he smelled the blueberry, and they were completely baffled.
I'm just thinking, like walking past the kitchen window and his blueberry muffins. I know I'm getting inside one way or the other.
No doubt.
You know, giving that butter. Now you just need a butter scent for some other stuff, and we'll be, oh, God.
So that
we'll work on that next. Yeah. Maybe a French fry scented one.
Excellent. So tell us, what else is going on with the company? Any products in development you can speak about, or?
We're always working on new stuff. We've got a product that we call Ring Clean Plus. It's basically for engines that get a carbon deposit built up. We see it a lot down here, and I know you guys do too. for the guys that are fishing offshore and you're trolling a lot, looking for the mahi or whatever, going around weed lines, and even if it's a brand new engine, it's going to carbon up after it runs slow for a little bit. Same thing for your bike. If you're riding through town and you can't crack it open, you get carbon buildup. So the StarTron, it is good on a regular basis to keep everything clean, but once in a while you just get the buildup, or say you buy something that the guy before didn't take very good care of, you can put this stuff in and basically clean out the carbon with a tank of fuel. So then your engine's back to the way it is, and just it's a nice way to clean it up without having to tear the whole thing apart. So that's exciting.
That definitely makes life a lot easier.
We just had a question from the cloud, and I think it's about the nose guard. If that leaves an odor after it does its work, is there anything?
It does not. What you have to air out the area, like the car, or say if you had like a storage shed or something like that. The way it works, the fluorine dioxin does have a little bit of an odor when it's working, and it's similar to if you go into like an LA Fitness and they've got an indoor pool, and you can smell the pool.
Yes.
It's got that smell. So when you the next morning when you go to open up the car or the SUV or whatever it is that you treated, you roll all the windows down, you kick on the AC, just let it vent through the system a little bit, and just let it air out a little bit. It's one of those things where some people have more sensitive noses than others, and will notice it more. But again, just let it air out, 15, 30 minutes or so, that the instructions are in there, and it dissipates. It does not leave a residue, so there's nothing to clean up. You just take the box that it comes in, a little plastic box, take it, put it in an outside garbage can, and you're done.
I think I'm going to use it in the guy's office that works next to me. When he's not there, I think I'm just going to throw one in and, let it go. Because that's
one of my neighbors has an RV, and he put it up, and then he was in it a few months later, and he realized his kid had left some food in the fridge. And he opened up the fridge, he said it about knocked him over. So what he did was, he came over, I handed him one, and he went back in the RV, he prepared it, he put it in front of the fridge, left the door open, and then left the RV, and went in the next morning. He said there was no smell, because it killed the bacteria that caused all the stinkiness.
There you go, Mike. That's those true. Upstate RVs.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent.
And bacteria is probably the basis for a large portion of the objectionable smells. Most of us like the petroleum
with cigarette smell and all that.
Oh, that is very good. That is cool.
OD90 weight.
Yeah, so it's good to know that things are moving forward at Starbright. And, of course, Starbright Starbright Inc. is your Twitter handle. I had to go look that up this morning because I did put a tweet out about this. We're in the new age, Bill. They got me,
sending
tweets. Yeah, so we followed you guys. And
so wait, if we're tweeting all that, it means that the president might be talking about it.
You never know.
See?
Yeah, you never know.
Hey, Donald, if you need one for Air Force One, I'll send you an auto odor eliminator. Not a problem.
There you go. And of course, we've had great success with your products over the years, and it always comes up.
Good stuff, yeah.
I even had a two-cycle backpack blower that needed some service, and the guy berated me because, and I knew it was me because I was the only one who used it, I didn't run it at a high enough RPM. I use, I don't just try to blow the whole world with the thing. I just try and move what I'm trying to move. And he says to me, you have to do two things. You have to use, three things. He says, you have to use high test gas in this thing. You have to use, it's an Echo. He says, I want you to use the Echo oil for the gas. And he goes, I want you to use StarTron. He had a display on his counter. And I said, oh, yeah, of course I know StarTron. And he was right. Yeah, so guys are catching on. They do know about it. And, of course, we preach it to everybody we talk about.
Yeah, it's great
stuff. Let me say this. The one thing that we don't touch on in our cars, our motorcycles, whatever, we're modifying everything we can touch. We're doing the fuel pack 3 on my Harley, and I got new exhaust on my Porsche. But the one thing we don't take into account, we just go to the gas station and fill it up with gas, right? Well, wait a minute. What if you could make that better? What if you could tune your fuel? And that's what StarTron does.
Right.
And some of that stuff that they pump out of the ground. I see a lot of cars come into the shop with bad gas. For whatever reason, they filled it up. All the truck was there, they let it lay.
That's the worst.
Oh yeah,
because you're pumping all that crud into your fuel tank that sits down there for years.
Right. It's like an archaeology expedition. You pull the tank down, and there's all kinds of creatures living in there.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily carbon-based life forms.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Bill, we thank you very much for coming on with us.
Yeah. The
guys,
website.
Thank you for having me. And anybody has any questions, we have an 800 number on the label of every single thing we make. So you call and you ask for Bill, I'll help you out myself.
Great.
Bill, how can people, you know, how would you like them to get in touch with you? The website, I guess, is, I was on
Starbright.com.
Starbright.com.
I'm looking at it right now. It's pretty, it's very well laid out. You can find pretty much anything you want, the drop down menus.
Call me in the 800 number. I'll help them out either way.
That's fantastic.
Bill, thank you very much. We'll be in touch, and we'll get you back on again here maybe as we get pass through our winter season. We talk about how to take our cars out of storage. We'll revisit.
Thank you, Bill. Take care, guys. Right, you got it. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, that was Bill Lindsay from Startron. Starbright.com. Check it out. This stuff is great. We use it on our vehicles.
And yes, comes in real handy, especially for storage purposes and whatever. Plus that deodorizing thing. I don't know.
Right.
I have too many friends that like Taco Bell.
I know. All right, guys, we're going to take another break here at Motor Mouth Radio, and then you can give us a call, 516-572-7440. Ray Guarino, Joe D, Mike Manning in the studio with us. Let's go back to see what was going on with our good friend Bill Kirshen.
My pappy said, son, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln. Have you heard the story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was setting the pace? That story is true, I'm here to say, I was driving that Model A.
Hi, I'm Rob Leonard, host of Beatles Songs for the past 24 years right here on WHPC. Beatles Songs airs every Friday from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m., playing the music of the Beatles together, apart, along with Beatle cover songs and songs the Beatles covered, along with songs a Beatle either guested on and or produced. And of course, we provide Beatle news. It's not the same show where they play the same 10 songs. So join me every Friday for Beatles Songs. 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
Opa! Yahtzee!
Hi, this is Teddy Savalas, and I invite you to 2 hours of vintage and modern Greek music with a mix of Greek mythology, history, culture, and dynamic English vocabulary based on Greek roots. If after listening, you end up saying it was all Greek to you, I'll be thrilled. So until then, let out an opa and dance to the music on The Soul of Alas, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC. Opa!
Open the cans, because we're bringing some heat.
Yeah, on the road again. Let's go.
I think I just gave Joe a flashback. Look at you. Your eyes are a little starry-eyed, Joe.
Yeah.
You look at, wow, you got that look in your eyes. All right. You
another time.
let's go back to the phones again and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouth.
Get my face, please. Yo.
Yes. Yeah.
What's up, boys?
Christian, what's happening?
Hey, man.
What's happening? How you guys?
Talk to us. I know you had a lot to say.
I know you've been listening intently, so yeah, come on.
Bring it about fuel.
I mean, this whole ethanol and fuel and storage, everything, it's just, you know, it's like a big debate, like gun control and all the other politics.
Wow.
Talk ourselves to a blue in the face, you know. Mm.
Well, Startron's blue in the bottle. So,
huh?
Startron is blue in the bottle, so that's good.
Yeah. No, it's good stuff. I mean, I just the whole thing with the overdosing is the problem I have in my field since I work on in the motorsports community, and they're secondary vehicles. So it's not a primary vehicle gets used every day. So stuff like bikes and, you know, all your small engine stuff, sits, we get it. The thing with cars, like, you can't really use fogging oil on cars because, you know, catalytic, you know.
Right, catalytic converters.
Really hurt a lot of things.
Yeah.
The only reason I bring that up is, like, in engines and, like, motorcycles and motorsports and all that stuff, and lawnmowers don't have catalytic converters or sensitive stuff like that, you can start putting the fogging oil in it. The reason why I bring it up is that when people are overdosing all these vehicles with all this additives, it's washing your cylinders down.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which is fine. I mean, it, you know, you want to blow out your carburetor and everything, but on a small engine basis, you really should come in with the fogging oil in the end, just to get the cylinders washed up with some oil. And the thing that's nice about fogging oil is the fogging oil keeps all the carbon wet.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to like melt carbon away. It won't really break it away because there's nothing like when you get a, you know, a, in small engines, they don't really have much seat pressure on your valve. So when you're using additives and you're breaking pieces of carbon off your piston and it gets underneath an exhaust valve, it'll just, you know, a lot of people reasons why they don't start that well.
Mm-hmm.
The fogging oil seems to keep everything moist.
Okay.
And it will eat carbon. It'll literally clean out an engine. Fogging oil. But here's the big thing, and a lot of people don't realize, and if it's a multi-cylinder engine, you shut that motor off, you know one of those cylinders is going to have an exhaust valve hanging open.
Exactly. Sure. And it'll be intake valves open, sure. Right.
Anything, especially the exhaust valve, mm-hmm. especially if it's a small engine, too, especially mm-hmm. if it's a bike. And it's, you know, I've had motorcycles seize up one cylinder, and I'd be like, why did this happen? Well, mm-hmm. you know.
Because you shut it off.
You shut it off, that's the cylinder that the exhaust valve was hanging open.
Right.
And all that air just goes up in there, whether it's a humid day or a rainy day or whatever that humidity, it's going in there.
And especially if the guy had straight pipes, so there's no baffle or nothing to impede. You know, I did...
Clear shot to the outside world.
I started doing that when I would take an engine out of a car and I knew it was going to not be used for a long time, or a bike engine. I'll like back off the rocker nuts and close the valves.
Well, here you go. In my career, I mean, I'm over 30 years now in this industry. Out of my 30 years plus, I actually only had one customer who would bring his motorcycle. This is true. Bring his motorcycle to the shop prior to winter and have us take the camshafts out of the bike.
Wow.
To make sure the valve stays shut.
Well, so the valve stays shut.
What kind of bike was it?
It was a Suzuki. It was a GSXR. It was like an old oil-cooled. It was like a early 90s, like the rocker.
Stud on rocker, like the Hondas.
It was a rocker-style, non-shim, but still.
Yeah.
Have to take the cams out.
Jeez.
And that was so that his spring pressure would remain the same and equal as well, because it's nothing like when you have a exhaust valve hanging open it's fully open, and you never know when you shut a motor off. That's why
of
I always said, and I always told people, regardless if you're storing something, get out there and turn the motor over.
Yeah, yeah.
Get it on the other opening, you know what I mean? Get it on overlap on that cylinder. Do
share
what you
the
gotta
wealth.
Do, but... Well, I mean, it's tough because if it's fuel injected, there's no kickstarter. When they took motorcycles started having issues when they took the kickstarters off.
Right, right.
When you had a kickstarter on a bike, that's the first thing someone goes to. Hey, I'm going to give it. See, oh, it's free.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
Yeah, keep it free.
Yeah.
You know. So I mean, I can't emphasize that. I mean, everyone's all over the place with storage. It's terrible. It's like there's no real standard right now. Everybody's trying to sell products. The Startron's been one of the best because you can use it as a fuel almost. Like, that's why I emphasize on the ratio of what people are dosing their engines with, because some people are overdosing and they're doing more harm than good.
Okay, good point.
You know, in the motorsports field. I'm not saying in, you know, cars and stuff, but, you know, it's just, it's very critical with that.
Probably easy to overdose it on a bike, I'm sure.
Absolutely. It's a huge problem I'm having because I get, you know, it's costing me time and effort to drain out fuel systems and put fresh fuel in and get them back on the track, because I'll test fuel. I could test specific gravity. I could test it. You know, I know I've done crazy stuff, putting it in pans and burning it and seeing how its flame looks. You know,
kind of what I did to mine. Yeah,
we've done that at the shop. You know, it's kind of cool. You make a stripe and you see what color it burns.
And I'm not going to ask you how dispose of it, but that's another issue altogether.
We will not discuss that. That's,
no, and I know that, you know, like you said with the fogging oils, how it keeps everything moist. I guess that's kind of like the consistency, like a Crown maple syrup. It's got to keep it like that, maybe?
It's not sticky like that, but
yeah. Okay, good.
It does have... Actually, I can say there is... I've been guilty of this. There's been times where I used to work on a lot of jet skis, you know, and I'd be out on people's docks, out on the water, fogging and winterizing motors. I mean, I did this for a long time.
Were you wearing a Speedo?
What's that?
Were you wearing a Speedo when you did that?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, geez. No, don't paint that picture. I'm only listening. Come on.
Hey, people don't know you.
Do you know the
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Now you threw me off track.
Well, I know. That was kind of the idea.
I've been guilty of the... there is... And there's different... And There's different brands of fogging oil do have different smells to it. Once it goes through a motor burn, it does have a great smell.
Yeah, yeah.
Been guilty of it, you know, where you fog a motor out and you go run into the cloud like I'm
at the exhaust
town when the nitro's flying around.
Yeah, you're supposed to do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was like being at the...
Better living through chemistry.
Being at the Cackle Fest all over again.
It is a very stable thing to do. Like, it's you know what I mean? You're not hurting anything. You would hurt more if you wash a cylinder down with additives. You know what I mean? Why store an engine? This is my theory to it. Why store an engine after you've run all sorts of these chemicals and all this stuff and you wash your cylinder down, okay? Mm-hmm. Now your motor's dry.
Right.
Then you turn around, you throw it in storage, and that exhaust valve's hanging open.
Yeah.
And people can misdiagnose a couple months later when they're trying to fire it up and they don't realize that, you know, the exhaust valve's rusted. It's not seating. The rings are stuck.
Right.
You know, all that stuff.
The valve can stick in the guide.
Any of that.
Yeah.
The fogging oil has such a... Well, first of all, fogging oil has a heptane or a propane in it mixed in as a propellant to get it out of the can, obviously. But also, an engine will run on it. And you could overdose with the fogging oil as well. It just takes a little bit. You know, you spray it in the motor while it's running, and then you'll see some smoke come out the exhaust. You know you're burning it through. You stop the motor. You know, sometimes we used to do with the jet skis is you run it, you fog it, and you cut the ignition, and you still spray the motor and let it pump through while the motor's still turning. And then you pull the spark plugs out, and you a couple shots down there. You'll watch it foam up. The propane and the heptane has a great penetrant value to it, where it will soak into the ring pack and get the oil in there. That's what it's trying to do. Is the heptane or the propane that's in it is trying to penetrate, and it will work itself down, and it'll keep everything nice and lubricated.
Well, I'll tell you, this certainly was a penetrating discussion, Christian.
Oh, boy.
Deep breaching.
No, you know what? I can always tell when
your show could go anywhere.
I know. I can always tell. We always know when you're really passionate about a subject because you really delve into it like this, which is great because a lot of guys don't. And believe me, it's we thank you for doing this because you add something that, you know, that we didn't touch on. So it's definitely show specific. Mike, do you do any storage kind of stuff with your engines or?
Sometimes, just the typical Stabil, that stuff. But now I know it's maybe not so good, so maybe I'll try some Startron.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But that's,
Startron not good.
It's definitely a way to go.
Yeah,
you know, because it's the enzymes. I guess it regenerates the fuel, which is a good thing.
Right.
You know what we should do? We should get all the products. We find someone that's got the funds to do this. Get Briggs & Stratton to sponsor us on this project. Get a bunch of Briggs & Strattons. Winterize each engine with different products. Stick them in a storage. Let them sit for a year. And then we'll have like a football thing with a box, you know, and everyone can put bets on which product is going to start up on the first pull.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and then post it, you know.
Well,
but
we can make go-karts and
Christian,
race them.
You know, I have 3 Briggs & Stratton sideshaft engines sitting in my shed right now.
You need consistency. We need like someone to drop a pallet of like, you know, a dozen brand new engines. So, you know, you got your control.
Right,
you know?
Right. You're right.
Spoken like a true scientist.
We'll get Harbor Freight to do it.
Or someone could pay me to build, you know, 12 panhead motorcycles, you know.
Oh, boy.
You know.
Now you're thinking like
we got to make a living here, you know.
Of course. Yeah, right,
but, you know, but, I mean, put it to the test. I mean, you know, I think people, it's great that YouTube and all these things, Instagram, everyone puts out their whole, hey, I stand behind this, I stand behind that, this is what I do, you know. If people really understand the dynamics of an engine and how important it is when you store it, though, is like I said, with the exhaust valve hanging open, getting the lubricant, the wash down, you know, I'm in there pulling motors apart. I see cylinders that are rotted out from wash down. I see ring packs get stuck, you know, and the frustration that goes behind it. When you have a secondary vehicle and you're putting your money into your primary vehicle, people don't have the money on their secondary vehicle because when they let it sit and then they bring it to a shop like mine, I got to charge them hundreds and hundreds of dollars to get their vehicle up and going again. It gets very frustrating for the customer.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. Christian, you've taken us to the top of the hour, and we're going to have
to... We're about to get bit by the clock.
Yeah, it's time for us to go.
Yeah, so. Mickey's waving at us real enthusiastically.
Sorry,
there.
Guys,
No. Thanks for that.
No,
you know, we want to get you in here. We're going to get you in the studio soon, so we want to get you, you know, let's schedule that.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll tinker with some stuff. Sounds
sure.
good.
All right, Christian.
Speedos.
Ugh. Yeah, I know. All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care. Image of my allergies. All right. I'll talk to you guys later.
So long. That was, again, Christian from Mach Modified Motorcycles, MachModified.com.
Giving us his angle on that.
Check him out. Kim is here frantically pushing buttons and running tabs. It's great to watch a professional work.
Yeah.
Something that we didn't get to see for the last hour.
We always go with Miney.
Yeah, no.
Because Eeny and Meeny never work.
We didn't get to talk. We're going to talk off air. For Joe D, Mike Manning, it's Ray Guarino, Motormouth Radio. We'll catch you next week. Keep it where it is and listen to Kim.